Happy Friday of Memorial Day weekend, everybody. It's May 21st? I think it is May 21st. Let me check here. I can see on my screen, maybe May 22nd. I can't tell. I don't have my calendar in front of me. Whatever, it's Friday of Memorial Day weekend. The sun's right on my computer, so I can't see the screen that clearly. And I want to wish you a happy, healthy, safe, thoughtful Memorial Day weekend. And you're probably an educator, so if you are, take a minute before you wind down for the weekend and pat yourself on the back, okay, for a job well done. All right, we're really trying here. And the, quote, official start of summer is this weekend, but we're still in crazy times, so just be careful out there. All right, please do that for all of us and for your sake. And I'll say this, since it is Memorial Day, remember our veterans who gave so much so that we could be where we are today, okay, in terms of freedoms and all that, and think about them. It's actually good in a way that most of the retail stores are still closed, so that we can actually think about the veterans and not worrying about the best mattress sale. All right. So can thank you all the vets out there. All right. So we're going to go on from there. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening today. That's a little better on my microphone. And we have a nice show today. A good follow-up show with my good friends from COSE and the Consortium on School Networking. They had their conference scheduled for March, their national conference. That got canceled, of course, with the pandemic. And so they had to switch to virtual, and that they did. And they just finished that up. And we've got Steve Langford and Marlo Gaddis, both board members of the of COSIN, to talk about how the first fully virtual COSIN conference went. And they are the co-chairs of that conference. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We're going to tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio, just like we always do. LinkedIn is Larry Jacobs, and Facebook is both Larry Jacobs and EduTalkRadio. All right, you can follow us, friend us, link in with us over there. We've had great shows. We have great shows scheduled for next week. We'll put a schedule up tomorrow for next week's shows, just like we do every Saturday. Okay, we're all at education-talkradio.org. Our other website, the home of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, is ace-ed.org. Note, ace-ed.org is an acronym for the American Consortium for Equity in Education. How about that? Okay, ace-ed.org, home of its official journal, ACNE, which is excellent. We're putting a schedule. We're putting a new issue together as we speak. That'll be out in a couple of weeks. All right, with a lot of great information on there, et cetera. But every day, the consortium website, ace-ed.org, has all top information about equity and access in pre-K-12. And that's a key thing these days. We invite you to join. Everything is free over there. Join our consortium. Make your voice heard. See what we're doing over there. ace-ed.org. Check it out. All right. And thank you for that. And now I'm going to get both Steve and Marlo on the phone. We're going to start with Marlo. Good morning, Marlo. Are you there?
Good morning, Larry. How are you this morning?
I'm just fine. How you doing? Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
It is my pleasure as well. Are you feeling safe and secure down there in Wake County Public Schools, North Carolina? Good. What town are you in? What town are you in?
Wake County area? We're in Wake County, which is Raleigh area.
Raleigh, thank you. Raleigh's good enough, as long as everybody knows where it is. Okay? And Marlo's a COSIN board member. Yeah, thank you. Raleigh, North Carolina, named after the original king of tobacco. Am I right? Sir Walter Raleigh.
Sir Walter Raleigh, yes, sir.
Right? There you go. Okay. Can't call me sir. It's not allowed here. You got to call me Larry. Okay. Marlo is a COSIN board member, founding member of the COSIN of North Carolina and North Carolina COSIN. Okay. A certified educational technology leader, and I could just certify her because I know how good she is. She is the CTO, Chief Technology Officer, at Wake County Public Schools, if I may, Raleigh, North Carolina. And the other guy with
yes,
us is up very early today, okay, Beaverton, which had beavers are on their flag, I think, out in Oregon. Wow. Thank you for being with us at 6 in the morning, Steve. Steve Langford.
Absolutely. Yes, great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Well, great. You got coffee in front of you? My pleasure, buddy.
I do. I do.
Good
strong cup.
Well, you live near, not to denigrate Oregon coffee, but you live near Seattle. As far as we're concerned, you live near Seattle. Yeah, I live in Portland, Maine, so as far as I'm concerned, you live in Seattle. Okay, close enough.
That's
anyway,
right.
Coffee capital, coffee capital of the world. Chief Information Officer at the Beaverton School District. 40,000 students and their families, now more than ever, and their families. Okay, is what you're serving. Board of Directors of COSIN and the Association of Computer Professionals in Education. I didn't even know that one exists. ACPE, I never heard of that one. When did that start? What is that? ACPE.
That's been around 50 years, and it's a group of technology leaders in the Northwest. And in 2015, we became a chapter of COSIN.
Oh, there you go. I didn't realize that. And I was going to say, I don't recognize anybody until they're around 51 years. That's my standard. I'm just kidding. All right. Just kidding. Okay. Which means I can't recognize Marlo, because what are you, Marlo? You're 29, right?
I wish. That would be nice.
Your wish is granted. Okay. Courtesy of Larry. Well, and by the way, both you, Bo, you guys are the co-chairs. You were going to be the at the real conference, but now you had a real conference, but it was virtual. It sounds like a weird sentence. Okay. And I just, as co-chairs, you got stuck with something really weird. Marlo, I just want to ask this real thing. You're the co-chair of the first ever virtual COSIN conference. Just right off the top of your head, what are your thoughts about that? Wow.
Well, I think it went well. I will tell you that every bit of it that went well is due to the COSIN staff. They have been amazing.
Of course.
We found out our conference was right after or right during the same time that everything happened with the coronavirus. And so we made a shift and a pivot when everybody else was canceling their conferences. We decided to keep on going. And that is largely due to the fact that our COSIN staff is amazing. And they really, really looked at things differently from the platform that we use to how we still help our sponsors get what they need and taking care of our virtual speakers.
Nice.
It was phenomenal, the work that was done. Our presenters did a great job. You know, it's certainly different from presenting face-to-face to all of a sudden going virtual. So it was, I think, for our first virtual conference, I would mark it up to a success in my book.
I am sure it was a success. Steve, your thoughts real quick?
Yeah, I echo Marlo's. I think the timing was so challenging for us. A week prior was a agonizing decision, and we knew we had to. We knew it was the right decision, so we never questioned that.
I was going to be there. I would have seen you guys in person. I was going to be there in D.C. We canceled our trip, obviously, when it was canceled. We felt terrible.
Absolutely. So the board, and we had to wrestle with that. And so being able to, in just a few weeks' time, take that entire wonderful experience and move it online and still make it a quality experience for people was an undertaking that was amazing. It should have taken 6 months to plan that or longer. And actually, we spent almost an entire year planning that conference. And for the staff to be able to move it was simply amazing. And they just deserve so much credit and our thanks. And the thanks to the attendees.
That's a wonderful way to put it from both of you. And I just want to say the agonizing effort that paid off so well and did so well, we'll talk about that. You're echoing exactly what's going on for teachers and educators across the country. Okay? One day everything's fine. They'll have everything all planned out. And the next day the floor caves in and they have to move to a whole different paradigm and doing the very best they can to make it work. And so congratulations, guys. You should be very proud of yourselves. You too. Pat yourselves on the back. Go ahead. Do it. I'll wait.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Seriously, really good, guys. You guys did great, I got to tell you. By the way, I got to say something about what Marlo said. too often we forget the sponsors, okay, all the I call it, say, the vendors, the companies, the industry that helps provide the dollars that bring about these events. And, you know, when we're there for real, we see them in the exhibit hall and you interact with them and you see these banners and signs and all that stuff. But that couldn't happen, obviously, in such a quick point of view. And Marlo, I'm so glad you brought up that your team worked very hard to get the sponsors well recognized in what you did, because that's really a key thing. Sometimes it's easy to just take it for granted, take them for granted. Okay, I know you don't, but the attendees do. And I just wanted to make a point. I'm glad you said that when you did. I must ask, this is always hysterical. Were there any challenge? What was the biggest crisis? Was there a crisis, Steve, during the conference? Was there a crisis like everything crashed? All the mouses, my mouse died yesterday when I was doing a show. What's going on? Was there any bad news out of it?
So I'm thinking back to last year when we had it. Yeah, I'm thinking back to last year when we had it in Portland, and the Wi-Fi in the hotel went down. And
there you go.
That was a crisis.
Yeah.
We didn't have that this time. I think there was a couple of times I could shout Zoom bingo. So I think that, you know, I think the only thing I saw was everyone had to quickly get really comfortable being in an online environment, both presenting and interacting. And for some, it was a great learning experience. They might not have had the same amount of time to be able to do that. But that's really the only thing I saw. So,
cool. Marlo, any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I actually, when you said that, I had the exact same thought that Steve had last year when you're having a technology conference and the internet goes out in the hotel. It was probably the scariest moment for all of us. At that point in time. So compared to that, this was a walk in the park. I think from my standpoint, the challenge with the virtual conference right now, with us still being in the pandemic, is that a lot of our participants, our attendees, are still working in many cases. And so balancing attending the conference while still working in their districts, I think would probably be the biggest challenge that we had.
Marlo, you're coming up with such great points today. I'm going to just do you. I'm not going to ask Steve any more questions. Either. Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's six in the morning.
Steve, go back to sleep.
He says, "Yes, just stay there. Don't worry about it." Okay, Marlo, you're so right about that. It's just amazing. You know, when people go to the conference live, they are away from their office. They are literally somewhere else. So this is their focus. The conference that they're attending, but nowadays they're sitting at home or maybe at their office at school district. Okay, they're pretty much by themselves. All right, and they not only have to attend the conference, they're also going to have to work all day just like everybody else. It's not being away anywhere. That's a great point. I hadn't even thought about that, but they didn't take the 3 days away from their job. Okay, they had to work. Wow. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there were quite a few times where I was on two different. I had Cosin playing in one, and I was on a work call on another. We just learned to balance. I think that's been one of the interesting things that all of our great CTOs and educators are trying to figure out right now.
Yeah, that really, that pops out. I hadn't even thought of that myself, but it's just absolutely it's amazing that balance that we had to have. It. This is an interesting question. Before I want to get into the nitty gritty of the conference, but before we do that, you did a damn good job with this conference, all right? And it's going to probably get worse because of the crisis we're all in. But school budgets are very tight, and of course they have to make sure now they have learned the great lesson about what COSIN stands for, which is the equity and the power of ed tech, and to make sure everybody has it with accessibility and equity. And that's right there. We're learning this, okay? So with school budgets being tight, and they probably will be next year, okay? And we're going to be more careful about our internet and our networking. And Steve, I'll ask you this. Do you think there's going to be more of an emphasis on virtual conferences like in the future than actual going to go flying across the country to visit one, an actual live conference? Now that we've been through this, what are your thoughts on the future about live versus virtual?
You know, that's a great point, and we've been talking about that. And I think I think that many things are going to be permanently changed because of this pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
The whole notion of work at home or work from anywhere is one that maybe people couldn't embrace a year ago and now is the norm. I think as we talked about the conference, I think budget is certainly going to be a factor in the future. But I think moving forward, you're going to see more and more conferences that just will have to have a virtual component to them because it's not
or
really a competition.
It's really an and.
The all virtual is possible. I think the challenge with the all virtual is sometimes that face-to-face time that we would have in the halls, like you mentioned at the start.
Sure.
Those are so great. But I think this notion that conferences all have to be physical, I think we've blown that out of the water, and I think there's a permanent change there.
I do too, Marlo. What are your thoughts on that?
So I agree with Steve in the fact that I do think there's a lot of change, and I do think there will be some virtual components. I do think, to your point, budgets are tough. We're hitting a recession. And so a lot of districts like my own have frozen travel during this time. And so I think for the upcoming year, I think we have a lot of challenges ahead in all the organizations that provide conferences, whether in education or otherwise. But I will say that if nothing else has been learned during this time, we have learned the power of relationships. As I talk to fellow CTOs from around the country, you know, the statement is we cannot wait till we can get back together because there is nothing that can be substituted. You know, our kids and our teachers are going through the same thing. Nothing
That's
substitutes
right.
The personal relationship and the ability to be together. And I think the pandemic has taught us that. And we appreciate it more. And
yes.
So I think, although I do think there will be some virtual components, and conferences may have to go all virtual next year due to either the pandemic continuing or due to budgets.
Right.
But I do think there is a need and a huge desire to get back to face to face.
Yeah, I do agree with you, and I'm agreeing 100% with what you said. Who knows where we're going to be? It's a matter of public health in reality, and we have to look at that, but we have to plan ahead, okay, just in case, and we can make it physical, and who knows who can fly, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be a real challenge for everybody. I just want to ask you this. What was your favorite part of the 2020 conference? Before we get into the nitty-ditty, just your favorite part of it. Marlo.
My favorite part?
Favorite.
Yesterday was my favorite day. I had the opportunity to serve on a panel around equity in IT, and so I learned so much from the folks on the panel. But I did really love Dr. Joe Sanfilippo, our closing keynote last night. I think he brought about an energy and a message that everybody was really in need of hearing. And so I enjoyed his message last night.
Can you just quickly sum up the message?
Yeah, so he, you know, part of what his talk about is how we have to lead through change and sometimes how we become our own worst enemy, that we say, you know, we're just teachers or we're just this or we're just that. Talked about how we do the most damage to ourselves when we don't, you know, we do pretty amazing work in education.
Yes.
Quite often we are our own worst enemies when it comes to that. And so talking a little bit about branding and how we communicate with our communities and show them how we care and show them that especially in leading, showing people that we work with how much we appreciate them and making them feel wanted and needed as well. So it was just a really good message for a lot of people. And he's
well,
got more energy than I will ever have.
Who are we talking about? Who was this mystery person?
Dr. Joe Sanfilippo, he is a superintendent in Wisconsin and has won many, many awards. Great speaker.
Cool, that's great. Steve, what was your favorite part? Maybe it wasn't the same?
Oh, certainly it was a very strong. The sessions were amazing. There were just so many favorite moments in time. But I would, when I think about things that were impactful to me, I draw myself all the way back to March, because we actually had a keynote speaker kick off the conference in March, just as a, even though the sessions were now and we wanted to intentionally move the sessions to May, we wanted to give some people professional development around the conference time. So Amber Case was the person who provided that keynote. She's a well-known futurist. She shared some deep thinking kind of and research around how humans interact with technology. And this is really important for us as technology leaders, because we need to be thinking about that human element as we provide technology, as we design it, as we implement it. We need to be thinking about healthy and good interaction for students and staff. And so her keynote's recorded. Mm-hmm. It's all available from the conference website. And I'd really encourage people to grab a cup of coffee and sit down and just let her thinking kind of permeate into your mind and see what develops.
Great advice, and I assume it's all at COSIN.org. Would I be correct?
Yep, the conference website is linked there, and the sessions have all been recorded and are going to be available. And I'm looking forward to getting into the ones I missed.
Yeah, exactly. This allows you to do that, the whole virtual thing. It really does. And by the way, can anyone, we're talking to a lot of people here. Can anyone go to, well, Steve, stay with me. Can anyone go to COSIN.org and listen to any of the presentations? Or what are the rules for that?
And Marlo can help me. I think you do need a COSIN membership, but that information is on the site as well.
Marlo?
And I'm not sure if there are some that are free.
I don't know that we have to have the membership, but you do have to pay a conference fee for it.
Okay, that's right.
Okay.
And it's a reduced
fee. Okay, good. And I invite people, and you know, the COSIN is really for, I'll say it this way, but let me explain, it's for chief technology officers, but it's really for everybody, superintendents, right down into the classroom. Okay, and it's a great organization, and I cannot recommend an organization higher at COSIN.org. All right, and it's not just because they're on the show today; they've been my good friends for years. this is from whence people become CTOs, and we need that expertise now more than ever. Obviously, you look what's happening with education right now. Thank you. It is true. And Marlo, let me ask you this. And you had when you were planning the conference, you had a plethora, a huge amount of different presentations and all that. And you probably still did that. But obviously, the elephant in the room is remote learning, distance learning, which falls completely on the COSIN folks. Okay, to make sure that can happen. Not that it does happen, but that it can happen. You're the tech folks. Okay, this is all tech now. All right, and literally remote learning. It's all done over the internet and all that sort of stuff. I know you had great ideas prior, then all of a sudden the floor fell out from under us. Did that change the presentations? Obviously, it's the elephant in the room. What happened as people were talking? How did you change according to these crazy times we're in? I'll ask Marlo.
Well, what I would say is that we did, I believe, add a couple specifically related to the COVID experience. A lot of our vendor partners and sponsors shifted some of their presentations as well. But I will tell you, every presentation I was in, whether or not it was, and in most cases, it was not related to COVID, as we give these presentations, everything had the reflection of the process. So if it was on, if it was a session on digital citizenship, which a lot of my staff went to from LA, the LAUSD presentation, a lot of it was digital citizenship now reflecting about that through the lens of COVID-19. Whether that was evaluating your tech department. I know personally, this has required me to do a lot of reflection on my own. If it was on digital equity, like so much of our work, to your point, the job that we do, this has been a time for us. And so I think everybody's really reflecting and talking about lessons learned. And I know that I myself get on multiple calls during the week talking to my peers across the country, because we're learning together and we're learning from each other. And I think that was the nice thing about COSIN, even though we pivoted so much of, and most of what we had already planned for the conference still applied in this time.
Cool. And you know, one of the things, I bet this was one of the things, Steve, you know, we were talking to some teachers yesterday, not on the air, off the air. A lot of their teachers are using I think it's called WhatsApp, What's Up. It's an app to keep in touch. I don't know much about it, to keep in touch with the kids and all that sort of thing. And I was talking, and I say, well, what's the, you know, that's great, but we're dealing with, we're dealing professional educator to a child in the district. Is it secure? What are they saying? And could that get out, et cetera? I would imagine, Steve, that internet security and technology security was a major conversation at the conference. Would I be right?
Absolutely. Amy McLaughlin did a fantastic job yesterday in a session called Baking Cybersecurity into Your DNA. And she really talked about, and it was great because it wasn't a typical cybersecurity presentation, and it illustrates exactly what Marlo said. Amy, in the context of COVID, pivoted her presentation and included the fact that we're in a very different environment now than we were just 4 months ago. And so that I was so impressed with not only Amy, but all of our presenters were able to take their work and their research and their learning and then put it into this new context for us. And I thought that made the presentations both especially strong and very relevant to all of us who are kind of working through this change in how instruction is delivered and impact to students.
Well, the line it's overused this week, we're building the airplane as it's racing down the runway to take off. Okay?
Yep.
You know, it's just it's the cliche.
Absolutely.
This week. And we really are. What was the one thing, Steve, I'll stick with you, what was the one thing that, if I may, I don't know if there is something, but just I'll ask you, and this will give Marlo some time to think about it, so just hesitate for a few minutes. Steve, what was the most surprising thing, maybe something you left out or something that came up and you said, oh, my God, right. Was there anything like that?
You know, I think for me, the surprise was, the big surprise was how many people showed up.
Wow, great answer.
A surprise for me. People came to this conference, and even from what Marlo said earlier, when you're sitting at home or you're sitting in your office, you've got a million things pulling on you, and you don't have the luxury of saying, I'm going to completely focus into this session and learning. And we were worried that this conference, there might not be a lot of people being able to devote that time, 2 days worth, 3 days worth of content. And in every room I was in, it was, you know, just like being at the conference. There were the same number of people in the room virtually as there were when we would be in the conference. So for me, that was a wonderful and pleasant surprise.
Well, that's good. Marlo, what was your big surprise, if anything?
So throughout this time, and I don't know if Steve would echo this, but as we're going through this so often, we're hearing about these webinars. And so we tune in to learn something from folks. And up until this point, one of the things that has frustrated me, my team has laughed at me because I get so angry at folks sometimes but there has been this attitude of we had our stuff together, and so this was just another step in our evolution through this process of COVID-19. And I want to call foul every time I hear a CTO say, you know, we did this really, really well. And so what surprised me, because I've heard so much of that recently, and it really frustrates me, because I believe in honesty, and I believe in that we learn from where we fail, where we struggle, where we, you know, from any lessons that we have. But what I wouldn't say so much surprised, as much as appreciated the fact that every session I went to, people said, you know, we weren't ready. We did some things well, we did some things not so well.
Yep.
And the fact that, and one of the reasons why I love the COSIN organization as a whole is we don't blow smoke. We just, our goal is to learn from one another and to advance the needs of students everywhere. And I think that's what I appreciated every time I was in the session. It wasn't a kind of blowhard, look at us, look at the great stuff we're doing, but it was really around, here's what we've done, here's what went well, here's what didn't, and here's what we learned from it. And so I always appreciate that, and so it was nice to see.
Yeah, it really is nice to see. And by the way, when you were in the sessions, could you see everybody that was in the session, like a Zoom meeting, I'm thinking, with little pictures? Could you see everybody, Marla?
No. Some people, you know, everybody has a different comfort level with being on video. I have learned that it helps me, being a very social person, it helps me to see people's faces in sessions. But I do appreciate and respect the fact that not everybody is comfortable with that. So quite often at the very beginning, people would have their faces on and we would speak to each other as we were waiting. But in respect to the presenter, so that we're not all looking at all the distraction from everybody else, when the presenter spoke, most of us turned off cameras and muted our mics so that we could pay good attention and respect those presenting at the time.
Now, this is why I say people ask me why I don't do video with these shows, and my answer is so the women don't have to get their hair done. Okay, this is just as easy, and what we're saying says the same thing. Steve, what was your thought about it? And think about it this way, Steve. Let me ask you this. In terms of socialization, you had mentioned this before. We do socialize. We sit next to our friends. We'll grab a piece of candy they might have stolen from the vending machine out of their pack or something while we're sitting there. Okay, we'll pass a note or two. But, of course, that doesn't really happen. Now, just talk about that. Could you see people's faces, Steve? Did people feel comfortable this way? The socialization aspect of it. Steve Langford.
Yeah, I think that the presenters did a marvelous job. It was obvious that we had skilled educators kind of walking us through their learning, sharing their learning, which was great. Just like Marlo said, I think it was important for everybody, and it became a norm very quickly we want to be able to focus. And so that socialization happened maybe at the beginning of the session or slightly after, but what I thought was really great was the use of chat to make the sessions interactive. It wasn't a bunch of talking heads, right? So we had every room had a chat room, and people would be using it to ask questions. Presenters would be using it to seed thoughts and questions. One thing that was really interesting to me that in a couple of sessions, I would get a private message from somebody who would say, hey, just saw you in the room, had a quick question. And that harkens back to the face-to-face conference where you'd see people across the hall and it was a chance to catch up. And it didn't intrude into the session because we all wanted to be putting our attention on the speaker and what was being shared. But it was really neat to see some of the face-to-face elements translate really well into the virtual environment. But as Marlo said, it is absolutely not a replacement for that building relationships face-to-face.
No, it can't be. It can't be, but we have to live with it for a long time. All right, you guys were the co-chairs this year, the roughest year to be the co-chairs. Congratulations, guys. Okay, Marlo and Steve. Okay, which brings me back to rule one, never volunteer for anything, but we'll move on from that. Okay, there's new co-chairs coming up. All right. Marlo, what would you tell the new convention co-chairs?
So I get the fortune of being the co-chair again next year. So
okay.
I have lots of stuff to share with our crew that is doing it again. So I am the one who gets to stick with it another year. So
Is it normally a 2-year gig one stays on?
I think that is one of the current plans that our chair is really trying to work towards, so that we have some continuity across the board. But we're already talking. The conference committee for next year has already met once and has already started talking about what this may look like from a variety of different perspectives. We're talking about possible themes, and so it's going to be fun. It's going to be in Austin, Texas, provided we're able to do face-to-face. And great town, great area.
Where is it going to be if it is live, physical next year? Where is it next year?
It's Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas. Okay, well, I hope we can all see each other there. So, Marlo, you basically wouldn't tell yourself anything for next year. You need a break. That's what I'm hearing.
No, what I would just say is... this has been true for me, having this been my first year of this, listen to the attendees, listen to our sponsors, listen to the board, but most of all, listen to the staff.
Nicely said.
I can't say it enough. They are the ones who do all the hard work. They are experts in their field, and I can speak for Steve, myself, and Melissa Tevenkamp, who is the other co-chair this year. We could not have done it without them. So just make sure you're
right.
Listening.
And hello to Melissa.
A lot.
Yeah, well, that nicely said. I'm glad you honored the staff. Steve, you're out. What is your retirement view here from being co-chair? What would you tell the next one?
I think it's a very intimidating role to move into, and because there's a lot of responsibility, and you want it to go well for COSIN and for the attendees. And I was thinking back to that, my very first meeting, and just how intimidated I was and frightened. And the first thing that popped into my head was what Marlo said. The staff were able to, they're the experts in building a conference, and that's why we have them on staff. And so we get to bring our lens and our ideas and thoughts and put them on a table, and then we get to push it all around with the staff. And that collaborative process of designing, it takes the intimidation away, and it really becomes a really great experience to be able to have a hand in helping create a wonderful professional development experience for our peers. And so it's deeply satisfying.
And you really did.
It's very hard. Yeah, it's hard because we get so many presentation ideas, submissions from around the country and around the world. And we could easily, with the caliber of presentations we get, we could run 2 or 3 conferences because there's that many and they're that good. So I would just say work diligently with your co-chairs, listen to COSIN staff and work with them. And in the end, you're going to get some great learning, and you're going to be able to help provide a wonderful, wonderful professional development experience.
Yeah, nicely said. Both of you, nice of you to thank the staff, which I know was excellent over at COSIN. We got to go, both of you. I want you both to have a good, relaxing, please, restful, just get off the internet, that kind of stuff, weekend this weekend. All right, Steve, thanks a million. Thank you. You take care out there, and you can go back to sleep. Put your chommies back on. Go back to sleep.
Thank you very much. All right, take
only
care.
Quarter
to 7. Bye-bye.
Go back to sleep. Okay, thank you. And Marlo, you take care of yourself down in Raleigh, okay?
Thank you, Larry. You have a great weekend as well.
Oh, thank you. Okay, have a good one. Bye, guys.
All right.
Marlo Gaddis, Steve Langford, the COSIN, COSIN.org. I cannot say enough for how important they are. They always have been these days. Okay? Believe me, these days. they were the epicenter. They really are, okay? Because everyone, as professional, as important as everybody is, you're dependent now on technology, and your CTOs are just more important than ever. All right, so what can I say? We'll archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out over to EduTalkRadio, and please check out our Equity and Access website. Join our consortium at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.